Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. And I'm sorry, we're having some technical difficulties today. So this program is apparently not being heard on the radio, but it is streaming online. So I hope you will be able to hear it. And if you cannot hear it, we will repeat this program. We will do this again after the new year, because I think that there is a lot of wonderful information we'll be talking about today that you're going to want to know about. So, today we're going to be talking about all things Scandinavian. Why is Astoria, Oregon, why is this north coast of Oregon, this Columbia Pacific region, so connected to Scandinavian heritage, culture, and traditions? And today in the studio, my guests are Leila Koskela Collier. She is the chair of the Scandinavian Festival, which takes place each June here in Astoria, Oregon at the fairgrounds. Good morning. Have nice to have you here, Leila.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we also have Lauren Matthews. Lauren is the president of the Scandinavian Heritage Association here in Astoria. Hi, Lauren.
Good morning.
Well, thanks, you two. I know it's a busy time during the holidays, and we're going to be talking about some holiday traditions, and we'll be talking about Scandinavia. What is Scandinavia and all of that? But first, let's hear a little bit about each one of you. Leila, please tell the listening audience a bit about yourself.
Well, my Scandinavian background is Finnish, and my parents actually immigrated from Finland in the early 50s. My dad came over first, and then he worked for about a year and a half, and then my mom and my brother, who was 4 years old at the time, came over after that, and they settled in Duluth, Minnesota. And then in the late 70s, my mom and dad decided they wanted a change. My mother could not understand why you would move from such a cold, harsh winter in Finland to a cold, harsh winter in Minnesota. And they decided to try Oregon. And my dad was at the Astoria Plywood Mill. And so we moved to Oregon in 1977. And I actually graduated from Astoria High School. So that's kind of the roundabout way of getting here. But I know that lots of families from Minnesota who had come from Finland and other Scandinavian countries also ended up in the Astoria area.
Did your parents speak Finnish at home?
Yes, that is still what we speak at home. My brother and I still speak Finnish to my parents, and my children understand it very well, but don't unfortunately speak it.
Yes, it's a language which can be, I guess it's considered somewhat difficult to learn.
Yes, it is considered difficult to learn.
Although they teach Finnish at Clatsop Community College. Again, another reason why at our little community college, you know, which is not so little and is wonderful.
Right.
Why would there be a Finnish speaking class at the college?
Well, because I think there are numerous generations of Finnish people here in our area who, for some reason, their families either didn't keep the language alive, as I didn't with my own children, and they want to learn it now, and they become adults.
Yes, so. And we're going to talk more about why we're all connected here. And Lauren, please tell the listening audience a bit about your background.
Well, of course, I am not Scandinavian, but I am married to, my wife is half Norwegian, and when I got here to Astoria, I met up with her. I just kind of fell into all the culture, and when we started our children, our daughter was just very young, only about 2 or 3 years old, when we decided to get involved in the Scandinavian Festival. And so we've been there and been involved for 40-some years now in the festival. And of course, her grandfather immigrated here from Norway, was here, went back to Norway, and then came back again. So a lot of the people from that area of Norway called Vossbygd came over in the late 1800s, early 1900s, immigrated to this area. Again, some of them kind of immigrated to other areas, like up in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that seemed to be an attraction, but then it came on out this way. But I think that her grandfather did come directly to Astoria.
Fishing. We mm-hmm. were going to talk about that. And for the listening audience, if you're not familiar with, you know, what is Scandinavia? Well, I wasn't sure exactly how, because Scandinavia is a term that can be used to describe three countries or five countries. And as I was looking on the internet and doing some research, I came across a YouTube video called Where is Scandinavia? It's about 4 minutes long, and it is so clever. And it really explains that you can say the Nordic countries, if you like, because typically, Scandinavia is thought of as being Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. Mm-hmm. However, Finland and Iceland are also considered part of Scandinavia in some places, or in some terminology. It's a very funny, clever little video, and I understood a lot more about it. It starts off by talking about how in these countries you have fjords, saunas, Vikings, IKEA. What do you think of these countries around the Scandinavian Peninsula? But then wait, no, Iceland isn't. And then they talk about the Scandinavian term, which really is one part geography, one part history, and one part linguistics. So, and there's a Nordic Council, and I would just encourage all of you to learn more about Scandinavia because, again, if you are in this listening area, if you're living in the Columbia Pacific region, maybe you know in Nacelle, most of the last names in Nacelle, aren't they, Layla, pretty much?
There's a huge Finnish population in
Nacelle, yes.
Nacelle,
okay. And the reason that this part of the world and Scandinavia, or Finland, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, that those are connected is because the immigrant, they came over to fish for the salmon.
Many came to fish, but my father is actually a tailor.
Really?
So my father came over as a complete tailor, and my mom was a seamstress, so they came over with that background.
I was going to say a lot of them did come here for fishing and logging,
mm-hmm.
but also we were discussing the other day at another place that a lot of them came over and were merchants. A lot of them came over, for instance, the Gimri Shoe Store. They came over from the old country, and he was a shoemaker.
That's true.
So, yeah, this was this. Yes, I mean, Asturias history is rich and delicious, and the Heritage Museum, the Classic County Historical Society, keeps all those things, so that we can learn about our background, our history, and of course, you also have the Midsummer Scandinavian Festival. What is that? How long has that been going on?
What year did it start, Lauren?
I won't say the year. 2017 will be our 50th anniversary.
Yes.
So,
okay.
You can see from there where we've been.
Okay.
And it started, the story was it actually started because of a Girl Scout troop, is one of the things, and they decided to put on a little festival to raise some funds. They managed to get to do some traveling mm-hmm. as a Girl Scout troop after they learned some of the dances, and that started it. They decided to incorporate it into a festival, and just gone from there.
It's a fabulous festival with costumes and dancing. And friends of mine, her children are involved in Scandinavian dancing here mm-hmm. Here in Astoria. You have traveled quite a bit to Finland,
yes.
Layla. So what are some of the things that you noticed, the differences, the similarities between Finland and here, and what are some of the holiday traditions that you think would be fun to share?
Well, I think the nature, water, and lots of trees. When I've traveled back there, those are some of the things that really, lots of lakes, lots of water, beautiful nature, obvious similarities with Minnesota with the weather, cold and harsh in the winter, and then the summers being warm. But I really think it lands down to that water and nature being the similarities there.
And Finland, the Finnish people, what is your, and there's a little book,
what you read was pretty interesting earlier.
I'll read this little piece. So if you're not familiar, we have a terrific store here called Finware in downtown Astoria. And Sara is Finnish, and her and the store is all things from the Scandinavian countries. And this little book, Scandinavian Wit and Wisdom, talks about the character of what are considered the Scandinavian countries,
right.
which are, we're going to consider that they're the five mm-hmm. countries. And then yeah. there are these islands that are also somewhat confusing, too. But
I think some of the themes between all the countries is pride in their national heritage, I think, is really important for all of them. And they keep that pride in their country. And I think, as you read those earlier, I think that was a theme that I saw in most of those.
Right. And in the beginning of the book, it says, the Scandinavian temperament, while it is no longer acceptable for us to stereotype or engage in gross generalities, we remain convinced that certain characteristics can be used to describe the power and personality of the Scandinavians. They are a vital, imaginative, independent, and adventurous people. Today, they're leaders in innovation and creativity, believers in a broad-minded viewpoint in the hope for world peace and in the importance of a reverence for nature. And that's what you've experienced when you've been going there.
Yes, just gorgeous nature. And you know, looking at all the artwork, the music that comes out of all the countries, I mean, I think there's just these very huge similarities between all of them.
Could you live in Finland now?
Could I live in Finland?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I could live in Finland. I would
love to. The transition, because you speak Finnish,
yes.
And the tradition would, yeah. The traditions would be...
I think it would be fairly easy for me. What would be hard is leaving the family here. And I think that's what the difficulty was with all the generations that moved, is, you know, having to leave your family and start in a new area.
Right.
Don't think I could do that knowing that my family would be staying here. My immediate family.
Right. And I think we talked earlier before we went on the air that there probably are more Finns here, although now, I mean, that's, you feel that somehow. It seems like there are maybe more Finns mm-hmm. than there are maybe Norwegians or Danes or Swedes. And there is a very long-lasting and ongoing Finnish Brotherhood here.
Yes, the Finnish Brotherhood downtown at Suomi Hall. They have been in existence for multiple decades.
It's one of the first lodges in the United States.
I believe so.
Number two is what it's called.
Yes.
But lodge number one, I researched that once.
Yeah.
It's one of the very earliest.
Yes. And I know that each of the countries, there's the Sons of Norway, there's the Danish Society, and then the Vasa Lodge for the other nationalities. And I don't think there is an Icelandic lodge right now, but there's a small group of Icelandic people in our area as well.
And one of them is actually a lodge here that goes back a long ways, too. They don't consider themselves one of the lodges involved in the festival, but it's the Scandinavian Benevolent Society, which is a group that gets together. They have a long, long history here. And they are one of them, when you talk about the countries, that originally when they formed that Benevolent Society, the Finnish people were not considered part of the Scandinavian culture at that time, and so it was the other countries that were involved in that and not the Finnish people. But I think since then, probably some of the bloodlines have gotten crossed, and so they're representative of
right.
All
this little video, Lauren, talks about how Finland is considered one of the Baltic sisters, and how Finland is in, it's out, it's in, it's out, and but when they market, when they're doing tourism marketing, they call them the Nordic countries, mm-hmm. And then there's a term called Finno-Scandia, but they said that only nerds would know that, and so you probably wouldn't say that, Finno-Scandia. But some of the things we think about when we think about, you know, Scandinavian culture, we think about saunas, and it's not sauna, it's sauna, right?
Sauna.
Sauna. And one of the things that you will see bumper stickers here, you'll see is something that says S-I-S-U. Why don't you tell us how that is pronounced and what that means?
Sisu, guts, determination, persistence would be the way that I would characterize that.
And that's a Finnish word. And
very much
yes,
so.
Intestinal fortitude.
Yes.
Indeed. And that's what I think this community has. And that's what it is, a gift that has been brought to us. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we are talking about all things Scandinavian, how we are connected, some of their traditions. And we'll be talking also about a brand new monument or something which is going to be created to honor the Scandinavian tradition here in Astoria. A grant was received by the Scandinavian Foundation Association here, and Lauren will talk about that. But I want to kind of talk again a little bit more about the holiday traditions in Finland or where you've been and what you've experienced.
Well, I would have to say one of the traditions that I remember from growing up is Christmas Eve is Christmas. You have your sauna. You take the sauna. You eat rice pudding, which I think is done in most of the Scandinavian cultures, with fruit soup, which is also sold by the Finnish Brotherhood at festival. You open your presents on Christmas Eve. Santa comes on Christmas Eve. Stockings, I don't remember being a part of our family traditions, which seem to be a part of most other families, but we didn't really do those. But the sauna, the rice pudding, ham dinner, family, Those are really the huge traditions that I remember from Christmas.
And is it true that after the sauna, then you'd go roll in the snow and then you go back and get in the sauna?
Well, I never did that, but the tradition back in Finland, I'm sure, which most of my cousins do, is to take a very brisk sauna and go jump in the lake.
Yes.
In a hole.
Yes.
In the frozen lake.
Exactly.
I've never done that. I don't know that it's going to be a part of my traditions, but...
But sauna, I know, is, and actually in this little book, again, Scandinavian Wit and Wisdom, it talks about the Finnish personality. And again, these are kind of generalizations, but when we talked earlier, I read this to Layla before we went on the air, and Layla said, yeah, that's kind of, okay, so Finland, the stoic Finnish personality puts great emphasis on self-reliance and persistence, sisu, in the face of difficulty. Finns are liberal, understanding, reserved, and sometimes taciturn. With a strong sense of their own national character, the Finns are proud of their high-tech expertise and their many athletic stars. Finns believe in the weight of the spoken word, in gender equality, and in the spiritual value of the sauna. So when we talk about the spiritual value of the sauna, what does that mean to you?
What it means to me is the cleansing. Just, you know, you just get, well, you're cleansed. Everything is cleansed. It's a meditative place to be.
Oh, I didn't think about it as a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I can see that. Okay. And that is that mostly just Finland, or Lauren, is that also in, you know, Denmark and Norway and Sweden? And
I think a lot of these have crossed over the boundaries, you know, where one thing is attached originally to one country. I think they've all kind of melded together and all do some of the same traditions, you know.
Oh, exactly. Okay. And the Scandinavian festival, which has, you have princesses and queens, and they're all from all five countries. Again,
correct.
Scandinavia considered, the Nordic countries considered, Finland, Iceland, Norway, Sweden, and Denmark.
Correct. And we are very honored this year, again, to have a representative of Iceland, which doesn't happen every year. But we have a junior Miss Iceland this year, as we did last year as well. So it's very nice to have our Icelandic culture represented.
And Lauren, explain, please, what is the American, not the American Scandinavian Foundation, there is an American Scandinavian Foundation, but what is the Astoria Scandinavian Heritage Association? What is its purpose? And tell us about this new grant that just happened.
Well, what it is we created the Astoria Scandinavian Heritage Association about 2 years ago. And the reason for that was that the festival itself was not what we consider a 501c3, where they could get money from individuals and through grants and that. So we formed the Heritage Association, which is going to is the fundraising arm of the festival. So we can raise monies through that, and the things that are truly Scandinavian at the festival, then we can grant money from the Heritage Association over to the festival in order to help out with that. And, of course, the latest grant we got from the Oregon Community Foundation is a small grant, but it's $2,500 to help start some kind of a memorial to the Scandinavian immigrants. We want to do this because we're going to be in 2017, will be our 50th anniversary of the festival. A lot of festivals don't survive 50 years. We wanted to do something, so one of our members, Carol Linkstead, came up with the idea we should probably try to do that. We formed a committee, and so with the $2,500 grant, we're starting to look and work with the city to find out where could we place a memorial, what kind of a memorial do we want. And so we're working with the city, would prefer to be able to put that on some kind of a city property. Of course, there's a lot of parks around. There's a whole waterfront. And so we are just in the very early stages of trying to figure that out. Working with them.
It's a wonderful idea, though, and it needs to happen. I mean, we obviously now, I think when out-of-town visitors and even all of us who live here see the Garden of Surging Waves, we say, oh, good, there is a testimony, there is a, you know, an honoring of the Chinese heritage here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks don't maybe realize that the Scandinavian connection, again, is so huge, and that Again, when I first moved here, there were church services in Finnish here in Astoria, mm-hmm. And again, it's being taught at the college. And then you have Finnware downtown. And so, in a small town like Astoria, you'd say, well, why is there a store which sells these Marimekko and gorgeous, gorgeous things from all of Scandinavia,
all the countries?
Why is that here? And then you see that there's the Scandinavian festival. So I think that all has to be explained, and so having something to honor that. And at one point, I think there was talk about doing something in Heritage Square to honor the various immigrants who had come. But I think the Scandinavian one. So right now, you're just kind of getting ideas.
That's correct, because the Heritage Square at this time, of course, the city is still trying to figure out what will Heritage Square really be.
Exactly.
And so we're more wide open looking at any place in this, around the city where we can place.
So, are you going to do a call for artists, or in other words, if people are listening and they're interested in learning more about this memorial to the Scandinavian heritage here, they can contact you, Lauren, with ideas or.
That's correct. They can contact me. Open to it. We will be talking about it in our meetings. We have monthly meetings with both the festival and the Heritage Association. And so we want those ideas to come forward so we can take a look at them. And of course, as we move along and get a little further along with this, we really plan to get a lot more people involved in this, and we'll need a lot more people in order to have this come about.
Yes, absolutely. We have just a few minutes left. I would like to also talk again about some of the fun things that you think about with this culture. For me, of course, a word that you also see on bumper stickers here is UFDA. And UFDA, U-F-F-D-A, UFDA is, as you research, you find it's from it's Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is your understanding of what UFDA means?
I think it's just a term that you say. Layla can correct me if it's kind of oofta. It's kind of like, oh my gosh, or wow,
yes,
or know anything you want, but it's just sort of oofta. What happened?
And
so that's where that term comes from.
And Shanghai'd in Astoria, our longest running melodrama, does a great job of explaining too about again Scandinavian heritage and the fishing and
correct.
And so UFDA, that's something that you'll see in like UFDA, I forgot my I locked my car keys in the car, UFDA, that kind of thing. And then again, we talked about SISU, which is
that's again, determination and persistence.
Yes, absolutely. What other things do you feel like influence your life today, Layla, being from a family, your parents came from Finland to the United States? That's become something that's a part of your life. Mm-hmm. And how is that influencing you and the way you live here?
I think one of the things that has really influenced me is just taking pride in your country and your background. And again, keeping those heritages and traditions alive. Having come from parents who still to this day we speak Finnish, but pride in both countries, pride in the flag, pride in keeping those pieces of your heritage alive and not letting them die away.
I know the Finns and Scandinavians, you feel like they are sturdy and well, there's that sturdy women from, Shanghai.
They
keep their word. Their words are mm-hmm. honor. It's not a flashy culture at all. Very humble, and they do, mm-hmm. kind of, they do what you think, they do mm-hmm. what they think is the right thing to do.
I think the word stoic, when it came through, and I don't look at that word as a derogatory word. I think stoic is very, they are very true to their causes and nature, and, level playing field, integrity. I don't remember what the other word was that was in there, but just, equal opportunity.
Yes,
huge,
yes.
Huge equal opportunity.
Yeah, well, Bernie Sanders keeps referring currently to the Scandinavian countries, that they have figured out some things that perhaps we could learn from them, for sure. Also, I guess I feel like when we look at how other people live, it makes us look at ourselves and say, how can we How can we do things in a lighter way, in a different way, in a better way? I love the humor. There is a twinkle in the eye. There is that humor, that oofta. There are these Oli and Lena joke books.
Oh, yes.
Oli and Lena. Oh, my gosh. You know about that, Lauren.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Tell them about what are Oli and Lena joke books.
Well, they have all these books about Oli and Lena. And, of course, the whole thing of it is, and they also Shanghai, and that story does a little offtake of a Oli and Lena wedding. And, of course, it's all the humor, you know.
And
of,
silly fun, like innocent, like Garrison Keillor.
Tongue in cheek humor.
Yeah, silly fun, kind of making fun of themselves, you know. They're sort of the funny family things that go on and all that sort of
thing. And even though we talk about maybe the Finns being stoic or you think that they're not as demonstrative, isn't it true that the Argentine tango is the number one dance in Finland?
Oh, yes. You learn to tango. I have had to learn to tango with my father, who is an amazing dancer. And the tango is his favorite. They have huge competitions for this back in Finland. Huge.
Why is it? Because they want that passion, Because if they're stoic and if they're not going to be terribly demonstrative like the Italians or something, let's say, then the tango allows them to express that inner passion.
Sometime you need to Google a tango competition in Finland. They are pretty amazing. They
really?
Also have accordion competitions. I remember being back there one summer and watching the accordion competitions. They're amazing as well. I mean, they just have that pride in that athleticism and the musicianship and all of those
pieces.
Oh,
my gosh. Accordion and tango
competitions.
And, of course, you want to listen to this, Lyle's program on Saturday at 2 o'clock here, Scandinavian Hour. It's fabulous. So it looks like we're about wrapping up. Any last thing you'd like to let the listening audience know, Lauren?
Well, I just got to say, a lot of the tradition centers around food, too. So if you hear all these foods,
Lutefisk.
The lutefisk, and there's a few of them that do, and I could eat lutefisk, but there's also the lefse, the krumkak, the
rice pudding.
Split pea soup.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely.
So
prune
tarts. A lot of the other things that all centers around food, and that's where I've learned a lot of the traditions is through the foods that my wife still makes.
Yep. Yay.
And baking all week.
Suomi Hall actually does have a Laksloda.
Yes.
They do that.
The lutefisk.
Any last thing you'd like the listeners to know?
I just think, if you can do any bit of research on your own heritage and learn about it, I think you are doing yourselves well. But keep up those Scandinavian traditions as well.
Yes. And call Lauren Matthews if you have any ideas about a tribute to the Scandinavian heritage here. Thank you so much, both of you, Layla and Lauren. Thank you, Kate Brister, for doing this today. And I hope eventually it will be on the air. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life. There will always be those things which are upsetting, which aren't going well. Focus on the things which are. Take a deep, calming breath and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for being here now. In the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.